HQ presents The Evacuee War by Katie King, read by Joan Walker. Chapter 1. Husbands were a lottery, thought a grumpy Peggy quite early in the morning. Hers, Bill, had seemed a very good one for quite a few years. Then suddenly he wasn't. Of course, it was easy to blame wartime and rationing and horrible news in the papers for Bill's disgraceful behaviour, but Peggy wasn't having any of that. She still could hardly believe that it had only taken a few short months of Bill being on his own at a military training camp near the East Coast, where he worked as instructor, for him to forget his wedding vows. While he was busy impregnating a NAFI worker called Maureen, Peggy was heavily pregnant with their own much-longed-for baby, Holly, a baby they'd had to wait a very long time for. At the same time, Peggy had been trying and not always succeeding in getting used to new surroundings after being evacuated. It had felt very strange, leaving the familiar squashed-together terraces of the dark brick two-up-two-downs in Bermondsey, with the oily River Thames and the busy docks only a stone's throw away, and moving to the more sedate and genteel Harrogate, where they were at first awed by the spacious and very comfy rectory, tall trees, with its solid stone walls and huge windows and lofty rooms. For it was there that she and her 10-year-old twin nephew and niece, Jessie and Connie, had been billeted within days of war being declared in September 1939. Peggy had accompanied the twins and their class on the train northwards along with her other evacuated teacher colleagues, although once in Harrogate she had decided to find something else to do as she sat out the duration. When Peggy went into labour a few months later, it had been touch and go for a while, scaring everyone. But Peggy dug deep, and to the relief of all, baby Holly had been safely delivered on Christmas Eve, and since then Peggy had done the very best she could to carve out a new life for herself and her daughter. A life that no longer involved Bill Delbert, or at least as much as that was feasible. The problem was that Bill didn't seem to want to take on board that everything had changed between him and his wife in the year since war had been declared with Germany, and that as far as Peggy was concerned their marriage was kaput. There'd been begging telephone calls and letters, but Peggy was impervious to his silky words she'd once found seductive. Of course, the months since Holly's arrival had proved to be a roller coaster of emotions for Peggy, although the handsome doctor, James, who'd saved her and Holly's lives as the snow fell when Peggy went into unexpected labour, had certainly eased a little of the pain Bill's behaviour had caused. So now it was a bitter pill to swallow, that following many weeks of careful circling, neither sure if their obvious attraction was mutual and each too scared to lay their cards on the table, on the very night that Peggy and James shared their first proper kiss, months after they met, Bill had done his very best to spoil the magic moment. And he had bloody well succeeded. Drunk and spoiling for a fight, even though he was supposed to be many miles away, Bill chose that moment to try and reclaim Peggy as his own. What cheek, and what disastrous timing! Peggy shuddered at the memory from the previous night of the sound of her husband's boots pounding across the backyard to the rectory where Peggy and Holly and the twins lived with the kindly rector, Roger, and his wife, Mabel. But although this was difficult to think about, Bill and the fight didn't have the power to diminish the exquisite sensation of the kiss and its lingering memory. Peggy couldn't resist, tracing a finger along her lips to help her relive the moment. Then she recalled how Bill's clothes were ragged and filthy, and he stank of alcohol. He had clearly been dosing himself with Dutch courage. Peggy felt ashamed at the very sight of him, shame that bubbled to fury as Bill turned on James. And then, even worse, James had given Bill as good as he got as the pair tussled each other to the ground, with Peggy screaming at them to stop, all too aware that James's hands mustn't be hurt. These were hands that saved people's lives, Peggy thought in distress and fury as she heard the dull pounding of fist hitting flesh and saw a splatter of blood spraying upwards. The snarl on James's face told her that although he'd never met this man, he knew exactly who he was, and he wasn't going to step aside in the face of Bill's unwarranted...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?